Buckle up. The Three Wide Podcast is on the air. In-depth analysis between the three biggest divisions in NASCAR. The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. And now, the green flag flies from the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas. Podcasting to the world. It's the Three Wide Podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's up, everybody? Three Wide NASCAR Podcast. Back for you guys once again in the new year. Eddie Greer III, your host for the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3. This is all about the latest in the world of motorsports. Talking about the Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Got special guests coming up. The first one of the new season of the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast coming up here in just a bit, actually, here. And it's kind of weird because this, doing this interview on, or as I'm recording it now, I might as well look at the date right now, January 10th, 2020. And this show, this episode, will not go out until probably the first, toward the end of the first week of February. That's when the actual season starts, or before that, actually. So, but you know the deal is, so if you're going, so when this is out, it's going to be a little weird because this episode is going to be recorded just a month earlier before, because we had our special guest come on the show. Might as well just knock it out and have that be the first episode of the new season of the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, which is season six, by the way. So tonight on the show here, I'm going to be looking at one of the Camping World Truck Series teams here in their crew chief changes here for the upcoming season, which is going to be right around the corner, obviously. And we're going to have our special guest up in here talking about last year and also what's to come. This year, and obviously we will talk Daytona because that's when this podcast will come out around that time. So we'll talk about that and really the first three races of the season and for the big dogs here, the Cup Series, as well as the trucks in the Xfinity Series. Again, through our NASCAR podcast, get it wherever you get your podcast, wherever it's from Spotify, Apple, if you download episodes from there. Please leave us a 5-star rating, and if you would like a review, that helps us out tremendously, gets us better each and every day with the podcast, iHeartRadio, Radio.com, Stitcher, and more. 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, getting ready to rev up its engines once again here in 2021. And our guest here tonight will be Lugs from the Wrecking and Racing Podcast. We'll open up the interview schedule of the 2021 Three Wide NASCAR Podcast schedule with EG3. That is me, Eddie Greer III. So looking forward to having him on here in just a few moments here. So let's dive in here real quick with GMS Racing, which has really become one of the juggernauts teams in the Camping World Truck Series. They made some changes to their crew chief line. Obviously, your top two teams from a year ago, the two team of Sheldon Creed and Zane Smith, crew chiefs coming back to the teams. And of course, Creed looking to make a repeat, while Zane Smith looking to break the doors down following a tremendous rookie season. Some other teams here. The 23 team will be led by Jeff Hensley, makes a return to the Truck Series. He's going to be paired up with Chase Purdy for that team, obviously, Hensley was a part. Hensley has 18 career Camping World Truck Series wins and almost 400 starts. He's 5 less than that through 17 seasons in the series. And obviously, Hensley, last time he was on the pit box a couple years ago, 4 years ago, when he served as crew chief for Spencer Gallagher. That's a name you all should be familiar with because this is that race team, GMS Racing, which has been so successful in its time period with the Truck Series especially. And we see some success a little bit in the Xfinity Series with this organization. So again, this team has made a home in the Truck Series, made a pretty big couple of dents here with Creed winning championship, Zane Smith finishing second, and then of course you got to go back a couple years ago when Johnny Sauter drove for this team organization and won a championship as well. At number 24 team for GMS, we'll have Chad Walter as one of the newcomers on this team. Rafael Lazar, who was just signed on here a couple weeks ago. Like I said, this episode will go out a couple weeks before Daytona, so I know I'm recording this pretty much less than a month in advance, but we had this already set up and locked in, so I had to get it in here while I can. Lazar driving for the team this year. Chad Walter has 5 wins and 200, just over 200 starts in. Well, actually, this is Cameron coming from the Xfinity side of things as well. And of course, this guy led Tyler Ingram to the playoff berth last year in his first season as a NASCAR capable truck series crew chief right there. So that's already, there's some good, some big time names for these teams down here. You look at the number 26 team, which is driven by Tyler Ingram. He has a new crew chief. Obviously, I just mentioned Chad Walter's old one. Charles Denneke moves to the captain of this ship for Tyler Ingram. Of course, Denneke, this is going to be, well, last year was his first full-time season as crew chief and produced 2 wins. Obviously, Chase Elliott with the Bounty Gate, with the Bounty Hunter on Kyle Busch going back last May, and as well, Sam Mayer, the upset win at Bristol last September as well. That's one of the wins that stood out to me throughout the Cable Truck season last year. Obviously, it was under a different sponsor in Gainer Outdoors. Now, the Cable World coming back to the Truck Series, which I love that. So, yeah, Sam Mayer, and one of the upsets, really, of upset races of that season a year ago. So Denneke will look to make a couple more stamps with Tyler Ingram. Of course, Tyler Ingram made his upset known in 2019, getting a win at Kentucky to get himself making his debut in the playoffs there. And then Chad Bryant, this is actually with the ARCA team, actually. So Chad Bryant will be with GMS in the ARCA series, and then of course, Jack Wood, a driver of the number 21 ARCA entry for them. So there's a lot of things going on there. And of course, another name that you guys should be familiar with as well, Chad Norris, will take over as role of competition director. Chad Norris has won the Cape World Truck Series win, that coming last October in my home track, Kansas, back last October. Has 4 career NASCAR Xfinity Series wins over 15 years of experience in the sport. Man, this organization is deep in. They have no plans of slowing down anytime soon. And then for those of you who are wondering, the crew chiefs of the champion and runner-up in the series, Jeff Stankiewicz coming back with Sheldon Creed. Off Sheldon Creed, this team got red hot in the summer, and it just carried that momentum all the way through to a championship. And they found themselves at times, at numerous times, battling their own teammate Brett Moffitt for these wins, and got the best of them at the championship, race at Phoenix. So that tandem was back, and Bono Mannion back with Zane Smith. Of course, Zane Smith coming a couple feet away from winning his first championship as a rookie, and came up short. It's going to be interesting to see what he does. I'm excited to see how he does in year 2 in the Truck Series. As well, Kevin Mannion in his career in the Truck Series, 6 Truck Series wins, 17 Xfinity Series wins, most of them coming with Martin Truex Jr., 5 NASCAR Cup Series wins, also one of those coming with Martin Truex Jr. as well. So 19 years inexperience with a crew chief there as well. And then you got to go back to Stankiewicz here. 7 career Cape World Truck Series wins as a crew chief. And then most of them, 5 out of his 7, coming last year with Sheldon Creed. So yeah, there's no reason there why to mess that up right there, right now, from top to bottom. When you look at, we just reeled off really from the Truck Series, the ARCA Series spot there, and then of course you got the Competition Director as well, folks. This organization is like stacked to top to bottom, so there's no weaknesses here. I mean, yeah, it seems like it with the swaps, the crew chiefs, but no, seriously, you look up from top to the bottom, they're gonna be harder to throw this year. Obviously, Thor Sport Racing has their four trucks there. Their highest finishing one was Grant Imminger last year. Obviously, they're the non-GMS driver there. Yeah, GMS drivers, 1, 2, 3. Now, I've said this before again on the podcast, and I'll say it again, obviously, before the new year starts. So, I mean, Thor Sports and Aaron have their hands full. Obviously, Inver Crafton, part of that Thor Sport foursome brigade. And yeah, go back to Ben Rhodes down there, and Johnny Sauter had an awful 2020 as well. So, I mean, yeah, 4-4. And then you have Front Row has only, what, one truck. KBM has technically three trucks. Two of them are full-time. So, yeah, this is going to be, once again, guys, going into Cape World Truck Series season, you're going to be looking at GMS versus Thor Sport again. until I see otherwise, that's just the way it is right now. Especially, we got a couple of those drivers at the top, really good. And it'll be interesting to see if there are any championship hangovers, especially with that two-team of Sheldon Creed. He just got better and better, and now he'll have opportunity to try to defend his crown against, obviously, his teammates. And then you have to deal with Thor Sport. And let's not forget about Austin Hill for that Hattori Racing. That truck as well has been really good in the regular season. Just can't get out of their own way when it comes to late in postseason races. So definitely GMS Racing, they're going to be stacked, they're going to be loaded for bear here coming up in a couple weeks when they get started in Daytona for their season premiere with Cable World Truck Series back. Cable World back as sponsor of the Truck Series. Eddie Greer for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3, aka that's me, EG3. So when we come back, we're going to step aside for a little bit. And on the other side, we should have Wrecking and Racing's podcast. The other half of that podcast loves to join me here tonight to talk some racing. We're just a couple weeks away from racing here in 2021. A lot to talk about going into that thing. We'll discuss that. And then following the conclusion of the interview, you know what the deal is here, what I do on the EG3 podcast. You're going to hear the closing music here, and that will wrap things up for this episode of the podcast. It'll probably be either number 2 or 3 on the list here for season 6. So I know it's going to be, people are definitely going to be down on this and tuning in like, what? But it'll make sense. Trust me, y'all. Trust me. So when we come back on the other side, we should have Lugs call me on the other side of the break. We'll be right back after this.
From the land of the purple, the 3-Wide podcast with EG3 will be right back.
Yeah.
EG3 is back once again here on this cool January evening, January 10th, 2020. And remember, folks, this will be out about the first week of February, closer to Daytona. EG3, that is me, Eddie Gritter, 30 here in Manhattan, Kansas, the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, season 6, well underway. Well, folks, finally, we got our guests online. Joining me now is the one half of the Wrecking and Racing podcast. Joining me, I believe, from the heart of Texas, none other than Lugs. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, how's it going, Eddie? How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Not too bad. We just talked off air for a little bit. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. We are actually in Indiana, though. So,
I'm
starting to disappoint. We're not in Texas.
Oh, I got the impression from Texas. Oh, my bad. My fault.
That's all right. We got racing over here in Indiana, so we, you know, can't get too mad about it.
That is true. That is true with Indy. And we'll definitely talk about that with the schedule and everything else. In the hollow ground, it comes to racing. So, how's the holiday treat you, and how the holidays treat you, man?
It's been, it's different, you know, living in the COVID world. Definitely different, but I can't complain. You know, the family's healthy, friends are healthy, and, it's just different. You can't interact as much. So,
yeah.
Just different, but I can't complain too much, you know.
Yeah, can't complain.
How about you?
Can't complain at all. Your family is well. Our little one here is about to turn 1 next month here, so she's been dealing with a little cold here and there as of lately, but she's doing all right now for the most part. She's been healthy. That's been good for the most part.
Good.
Family doing well.
Good.
So,
that's
yeah.
Awesome. A one-year-old, I'm sure that keeps you busy.
Yeah, oh yeah. She's already keeping me busy already, so It's all gonna get busier from here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. So excited to have you on the podcast for a little bit, talk some racing, and before we dive on down that road here, just tell us about yourself and how'd you get involved with NASCAR, my friend.
Yeah, so myself and my partner Gasman, those are kind of our radio names, if you will, on our podcast. So we started the podcast. This is our third year. It'll be 3 years and start of our third year in March, I believe. So,
oh, nice.
We've both been lifelong fans of NASCAR. It's actually how we met each other. We were both wearing. He was wearing an Earnhardt shirt, and I was wearing a Gordon shirt in middle school.
Of course,
you know, that caused some rivalry there. But, it's funny, just created that whole friendship. And here we are, you know, so many years later with a NASCAR podcast. But, from Indiana. And I don't know, I just kind of stumbled upon the sport. Someone in the family, you know, was kind of into it a little bit. And kind of turned me on to it, and I just really, just really enjoyed it, and it just kind of took off from there, man. So got into, you know, watching the races, going to races, collected a little bit of diecast here or there, and here I am 20 years later still involved with it. And like I said, it was a Gordon fan growing up all the years, but obviously he's retired now, and I just enjoy the sport, watching new drivers come in and just have a good racing product, you know?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I didn't fully join, well, I was watching races here and there when I was little. I didn't fully join in until around the mid-2000s, I want to call it. I know I've been to several races, been doing that, so, and then started this podcast while I went to K-State, doing radio for our campus radio station at Kansas State University, which I went to school at before transferring from community college, then going to K-State, so that's where this all started, and then all of a sudden, here now, a few years later, still doing it. So it's sort of grown here a little bit over the past couple of years. So, yeah.
Good. Consistency is the key. It's kind of what we've learned. You know, it's not easy, but if you can at least, you know, stay consistent and, you know, week in, week out, or, you know, month in, month out, whatever works for everybody's schedule. But if you can be consistent, I feel like that's half the battle.
Yeah, definitely. I like that word. I definitely use that word quite a bit, whether it's here or running or whatnot. Consistency, yeah, that's the key to anything in life for sure.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, to answer your question, I guess I didn't really mention, but yeah, but about 96, 97, I guess, is probably whenever I really got into the sport. So,
awesome stuff there. So, okay, so how did, I know you and Gasman start the podcast with what's called Wrecking and Racing Podcast. So, how did that generalize? You guys just wanted to start one up, or was it just you guys like talking and racing and then you want to start it up, or how did that all begin?
Yeah, I mean, we always talked about it. I mean, that was kind of the basis of how our relationship started, you know, in middle school and, you know, all the way through our adulthood, you know, adult lives. That's pretty much what we mainly talk about. And so we were just kind of had an epiphany and we were like, you know what, why don't we do a podcast? And, you know, we didn't have like super high expectations.
Right.
You know, we just wanted to do it for fun and kind of get our voices out there and, you know, just see what happens. And it's been pretty cool. We've grown, you know, a decent amount organically and met some cool people in the sport. And but yeah, it was just kind of one of those things that we thought, well, let's do it. What do we got to lose? You know, so we bought a couple of mics and you know, a couple of small entry level pieces of equipment and just kind of jumped in head first.
nice. Lugs, the other half of the Wrecking and Racing Podcast from Indiana, joining me on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3. So have you been to Indianapolis for some races?
Oh yeah, I have. I've been to the Brickyard probably about six times, I would say, about six races worth. And then I've been to the Indianapolis 500, one time, so.
Ah, nice, very nice. So, do you have a favorite race? I know I'm going to jump the gun right off the bat with the schedule, but with Indy moving to the Cup, with the Cup race now going to the road course now, instead of the traditional Brickyard, what we saw last year with the Xfinity Series, which was a tremendous race, do you have a favorite race from the old Brickyard configuration?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Gordon fan, like I said, growing up, and obviously still to this day, even though he's retired. But, you know, seeing him win at the track five times was pretty awesome. So, you know, the last time when he went out and did it in 2014, that was pretty cool to see him go out there, you know, ultimately right before he retired and win it. Unfortunately, I didn't go that year. I had a buddy's wedding that I had to be in. Otherwise, I had goals, or, you know, we're going to try to make it up there, and just couldn't make it both work. So I didn't get to make it to that race in person. I really wanted to, but I'd have to pick that one probably. But with the reconfiguration, I mean, I'm optimistic for it. I know, you know, the Xfinity race this year, and they did it last year too, right?
Or was, yeah,
it this year, the
that,
first year?
That was, yeah, they did it. They started doing it last year. So
yeah. Yeah, so I'm optimistic for the Cup guys that it'll still put on a good product. I feel a little bit conflicted that they're not doing the oval version as well, you know? I mean,
yeah,
could have done maybe a doubleheader or something like that. I don't know, you know, did it for, you know, 20 years or so. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking about lately. Or when the schedule came out, I'm like, this is interesting. So, I mean, I know a couple of people threw that out there, you know. They could have did a doubleheader like the Xfinity on the road course and then stay with the traditional oval with the Cup guys. I know Roger Penske has the full hold on that operation now. Obviously, he took over that thing last year. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
it makes you wonder where the direction came from, right? Was it from the Penske takeover? Was it NASCAR? Was it, you know, the teams and drivers saying, hey, let's do something different? Because I do feel like, you know, there was a period of time where the Brickyard had kind of gotten a little boring. You know, there wasn't a bunch of, you know, fantastic racing showcase there. But then in the last 2-3 years, I feel like produced some pretty exciting results and finishes. So, I don't know, now that we're going away from the oval version, I don't know, feel a little bit conflicted. But I'm always open to trying something, you know, new. So hopefully the new the road course version will produce something just as exciting.
Yeah, and kind of to answer your question, I mean, I don't have the full answer. I'm speculating it's probably a Roger Penske behind the scene decision on that. Probably I would take more than NASCAR. That's just my opinion there on that one. So, but yeah, you kind of hit on something there, and that's new, and that's what we're going to see with the changes to the NASCAR schedule there. Before I talk about that, last year obviously we saw some good racing, especially in the playoffs there, in all three divisions there. Lugs, what was your take? What would you summarize last year as?
Just the Indy or the whole thing. I thought, you know, especially working with the parameters that we had with COVID, right? I think it was a fantastic season, you know, doing some of the double headers that they had and, you know, making up for lost races or tracks that, you know, we couldn't participate in due to, you know, restrictions and not having fans be able to attend. Like, you know, this industry was put within a box and they still found a way to, you know, have some races. So I think it was a good season. Obviously the People's Champion come out on top, and I think that helped the sport, you know, immensely. So I would give the season a strong probably B+. The only thing that I would take away would be, you know, there was some races where I feel like there wasn't quite enough competition, or people couldn't pass for the lead or for the win when they clearly had the better car. But overall, I'd give this whole full season, I think, a solid B+. How about you?
Yeah, I gave it a B last year, just for those reasons. And yeah, I'll kind of add on to what you said about the passing for the lead. When I went to Kansas Speedway, the playoff race, my home track, last October there, Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano, clearly had the best car there. And then, of course, Joey Logano, he was nowhere to be found in the first couple of stages there. And all of a sudden, got that valuable track position that you hear about a lot in these races. And then, of course, he has one of the good better spotters in the game in TJ Majors. And Joey just blocked the hell out of Kevin Harvick there for the win. And that's kind of I talked about this on either last episode or the episode prior, but I think I will go circle that. I mean, at that time, you know, Kevin Harvick's good. He's going to make it to the championship four, but obviously we know now he did not make it to the guy that had the most wins didn't make it. So yeah. I mean,
yeah, and when I was making that comment, that's the exact race I was thinking of. Was, you know, Logano earned that win. You know, he had to drive very defensively and manipulate the air.
Yeah,
but, you know, he did what he had to do. But, you know, there was a lot of pissed off fans.
Yeah, there were. Oh yeah, I hopped on Twitter when I got back home. Oh yeah, there are a lot of fans upset, obviously, at Joey Logano. And what can he do? He's there racing for the win. But yeah, I mean, you've been hearing the same story about this rules package for these cars now for a year and change now, that depending on different tracks, and you can go back to Las Vegas also for both races, really, especially the playoff race there. Kurt Busch, he wasn't the best car there either. Alex Bowman had a really fast race car for not one of those races, but for both Las Vegas races last year, and he got caught for both last year. He could have easily won both of those if the cars fell his way, but obviously did not. But yeah, Kurt Busch blocked Matt DiBenedetto toward the end of that race as well. So yeah, I mean, unfortunately, track position now is key to these races that you've seen too. So that's another race there. I can name off a couple others too that weren't action packed as well. So and depending on air and all that other stuff, which I'm still trying to understand all how it all works and stuff. But so yeah,
right. I'm really curious to see. You know, obviously we're supposed to have the next gen car in 2021, but with COVID and everything that, you know, is being pushed back to 2022. But I'm curious to see if it's really going to be the great equalizer. And I just really look forward to 2022 and seeing what that product ultimately, you know, ends up being.
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
Yeah, the next-gen cars, yeah, that I'm definitely, if things can stay on schedule, obviously, you know, we're still dealing with this pandemic, and there's a lot of optimism that we could start seeing ourselves get away from it in the second half of the year, but we'll have to see how all that shakes out. No, Kurt Busch, Martin Truex Jr. tested out the next-gen car a month ago or so now, and then Eric Jones is testing it. I think William Byron was in it, Austin Dillon. So, I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it works. I mean, they're still working out the kinks, but from hearing from those guys, they say it's okay. You know, they have bigger brakes on it, which is interesting. So, yeah, they're still working out all the kinks of that. So, definitely when we do wrap up the season, obviously we're a couple weeks away from that, but it'll be interesting to see how that does with all the different types of racetracks, obviously with the short track, mile and a half, your 2 mile, your road course races, which we have a lot of them on the schedule this year. So this is a season, if you take away the next gen car, this is a season of trying out something new, like you said a little bit in your speech there. And I want to get your thoughts. You know, I'm looking at the schedule. I got the schedule in front of me now. The Bristol Speedway Dirt. And there have been a lot of people you know, not very happy. I'm one of them included about this change here. Bristol, obviously, one of the more good race short tracks in America. And they're putting dirt on a racetrack. So what are your thoughts about that whole situation there coming up in late March?
Yeah, you know, I no disrespect to dirt whatsoever. I appreciate the people that race on dirt and the talent they have, and you know, obviously a lot of NASCAR guys, you know, cut their teeth on dirt tracks, but I'm just not a huge dirt guy. I enjoy the, you know, the truck series when they go to Eldora. I enjoy watching that, but you know, I also like my Bristol, you know, and I like the traditional kind of, you know, asphalt or concrete, you know, package that they have there. So I don't understand why they decided to go dirt. It'd be entertaining, and you know, hopefully they prove me wrong. But I'm scratching my head on why they decided to go dirt. You know, just like you. And plus, you know, it's still relatively pretty cold in March, you know.
Yeah.
I know they've had snow at Bristol in that spring race before, so I feel like that could play into the whole dirt issue as well, but you know, we'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, we'll all find out when that rolls around in late March, March 28th to be exact. Yeah, and around that time, usually you get rain too as well. So, I mean, that could play a factor in it. I don't know, but yeah. And this is one of the races that is going to be getting the whole shebang, the practice, qualifying, and racing. I know there are 8 on the schedule that are getting practiced. The rest of them are not. Bristol is one of those racetracks, also the Daytona 500, going back to, well, they've always had a tradition of qualifying for the front row, then you have your duels and things like that. I think COTA is another one on the list there that's getting the practice thing, obviously, because that's going to be the first time the Cup car is going to be there. Road America as well, and we don't even know. I know we're recording this podcast in early January, Lugs, but Sonoma, I'm not sure yet. I mean, obviously, with California having some strict rules out there, I don't know if they're going to go out there. Sonoma's become one of my favorite races, road course races. Nashville Super Speedway, another track, is going to get practice qualifying as well. So last year, once NASCAR came back, Lugs, we mostly saw cars go straight to the track and race. So that was fun. That was actually fun, in my opinion there. I mean, obviously, I'm used to the whole practice thing there where you have drivers continuing to work on their cars, try to get them better throughout the course of the weekend, and Kyle Busch missed having practice, obviously. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on the whole no practice deal there? And then, of course, NASCAR making the change this week, adding in eight tracks, getting the whole nine yards, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's funny because before COVID, you know, they had said that they were going to try to slowly move over to, you know, just a one-day type event where they qualify and everything, you know, before the race. So it's interesting how they were kind of forced, their hand was forced with the whole pandemic to go that route. But, you know, I'm not mad about it, honestly. I mean, I traditionally would watch practice and qualifying when I could.
Yeah.
I like the format that they came up with that takes, like, the fast lap, the formula with, like, the fast lap and, like, who won the race and led the most laps and things like that to figure out, you know, starting position for the playoffs, the grid drivers that, you know, were participating in that. So, I'm not mad about it, and I think it's definitely good for them to get practice at some of those tracks, you know, especially the ones they haven't set foot on before or in a while. So I'm not mad about it, honestly. Obviously, I think it does take away from a little bit of the at-track experience if you're there for the actual race weekend. That's the only downside to it is, you know, you're not quite as getting, as much for your ticket purchase. But overall, I mean, if it saves the teams some money and it helps the sport out, I'm okay with it.
Lugs, the other half of the Wrecking and Racing podcast from Indiana, joining me here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Whatever NASCAR decides to do, I'm 100% all for that as well. So definitely it will be interesting to see how that goes, obviously, as we get into the 2021 season. Lugs, so silly season. We had more silly season news come upon us last week. Again, we're recording this early January 10th, to be exact. So, Anthony Alfredo going to Front Row Motorsports, taking over John Hunter Nemechek's seat there after John Hunter Nemechek decided that he wanted to compete for more wins, be more competitive, and get more wins. He's going back down to Kyle Busch Motorsports, and there were some negative feedback from that situation there. I didn't have a problem with that. I talked about that last year when that announcement was made. I have no problem with that. And now Front Row is replacing a rookie with another rookie, Anthony Alfredo, who made several starts in the Xfinity Series, now going full-time in the Cup Series there. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I get John Hunter, his position, of leaving Front Row and going, you know, for a very competitive truck series ride with KBM. I get that, right? I guess it comes down to your personal, values. Like, do you want to be in the Cup Series and be a Cup star, but also, you know, run 20th to 30th each week? John Hunter obviously has a lot of talent, and equipment plays into it a lot, but, you know, when he was part of the rookie picture this year with, Custer and Reddick and everybody, obviously he didn't have as much camera time as everybody else, but he still had some good runs. He didn't maybe always get the end result, but he had some good runs in that car. And I think Anthony Alfredo is very talented, so I think he we'll duplicate some of those runs, and hopefully you can, you know, bring home some good finishes. But again, I think it ultimately comes down to, you know, what your personal values are. And, you know, are you okay with being a Cup Star running 20th to 30th and having some occasional success or good finishes? Or, you know, do you prefer to run top five and contend for wins, but, you know, step down a series or two? So I commend those guys for the decisions that they've made. I hope Anthony, I think he's got, like I said, a lot of talent, and he's had some really good runs in the Xfinity series with Childress. So I hope that he can, bring some good finishes home and for front row.
Yeah, Johnny Mitchek, when it comes to mine last year, he had a great run at the first Darlington race there. He was up in the back end of the top 10 quite a bit there towards the end of that race too. Great run there. And had several others. And then late in the second half of the year, might have been an exciting factor because he got himself into some trouble late in the year last year there. So, but yeah, he had some great runs the first half of the year. He was competitive right up there, top 15, top 20, and had a couple of runs up there in the top 10 there. And interesting that you mentioned that Alfredo could bring some good luck there to that race team. So it'll be interesting to see how he pairs up with Michael McDowell. Obviously, McDowell, a long time guy with Front Row Motorsports there. So obviously he's back. And then, of course, David Reagan will be running the 500 here in a couple of weeks there for Front Row Motorsports. So David Reagan, always a threat when it comes to speedway racing. So I'm excited to see him back in the Cup car and back at Daytona for sure.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really curious to see how this, you know, plays out for John Hunter. You know, I really do hope that when he steps down to KBM and, you know, he will contend for wins, you know, where does he go from there? Does he continue to be a truck series star, like, you know, kind of like Ron Horner did? He was, you know, the truck series guy, you
he
know,
was the guy, yep.
Kind of. Was one of the household names of that series. Does he go along those lines, or does he kind of, you know, rebuild his career and work back up through Xfinity, or wait for, you know, another opportunity in Cup? I'm very curious to see how, you know, this plays out for him.
Yeah, John Hunnemichek, when he was in the trucks, he obviously was driving for pretty much his own team with his daddy. So he was very competitive down there, single car operation up there, top 10, top 5, and contending for wins there. And that's interesting because now you're kind of, you're upgrading equipment to one of the best in the business with Kyle Busch Motorsports, and you're going to have to deal with the defending series champion, Sheldon Creed, before you called. I talked about GMS Racing as probably the best team in IndyCar World Truck Series right now with what they have from top to bottom. Obviously, they finished 1-2-3 in the standings last year. You have to deal with Zane Smith, and let's not forget about Thor Sport Racing, and then you throw in Austin Hill in there in the mix. So yeah, I'm definitely interested to see. I mean, John Hunter, he's racing against some guys a lot now, so he's no stranger to that series, obviously. So now with an upgrade in equipment, it'll be interesting to see, can he bring Kyle Busch Motorsports back up right up next to those organizations, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, there's no denying that I'm sure Kyle was a little disappointed with the results of his team last season, and even the season before that with, you know, Todd Gilliland, Rafael Lassard, and everyone in 2020. It still, you know, wasn't quite, you know, Kyle Busch Motorsports, you know, results that we had grown to expect, you know. So very curious to see what kind of results they get in 2021.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, you gotta go back there where he threw Gillen under the bus there. Obviously he's with Front Row in the truck series there. He announced that he's coming back for another year as well. And Harrison Burton didn't have the success like he's had now in the Xfinity series last year, reeling out 4 wins there. So, and then last year, of course, I thought Christian Eckes was going to have a big year, and then he had some bad luck. He was up front in some of those races, had looked good, and then ran into some bad luck there. And then, of course, Rafael Saldi, the lone win last year, coming from Talladega late, was not in the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting for sure to see what John Hunter Nemechek brings to that organization. Eddie Greer, 30, Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, rolling along with Lugs, joining me from Indiana. He's a part, one half of the Wrecking and Racing Podcast. Okay, so kind of back the cup here a little bit here. So last year, obviously, we saw, obviously, most popular driver finally break through, get to the championship four, and win his first championship. There are some interesting storylines coming out of last year. Harvick didn't make the championship four last year. Denny Hamlin coming up short yet again for another championship. What caught your eye last year?
Obviously I think Chase obviously going out and getting the win. I think a lot of people sentimentally pick him to make the final four, but he had never made it right until 2020. So him actually going out and doing it and then getting the trophy, man, I'll be honest, I was a little shocked. I'm really, really happy for him and glad he was able to do it. But, you know, I feel like he's always a lot of people's sentimental pick, you know, kind of like Junior. Everybody wanted Junior to go out and finally get that championship, you know, and unfortunately it never materialized, but, you know, Chase is actually able to do it. I had my money on Denny Hamlin. I thought, you know, this is the year he's finally going to do it. But, you know, I think overall, even though he had, like, I don't know, what was it, 7-8 wins, you know, Joe Gibbs was still lacking a little something, in my opinion. Kyle had just the one win, and you know, I think Truex had maybe two or whatever it was, but overall it just wasn't the banner year that you come to expect from Joe Gibbs. So I think that would be the other thing that caught my eye. I really do expect them, since we have the same car and rules package and stuff, I really think that they will be back to their high level of you know, results for 2021. I think they will really rebound this year.
Yeah, as you probably know, Martin is my guy. I thought that Denny had his last year, but yeah, I thought the same lines as well. I thought they were down a little bit last year. Martin had one win that came at Martinsville, the first Martinsville last year. So I look for, I know he and Jay Small were working out the kinks a little bit last year, and I'm expecting them to try to get back up there this year. So Kyle Busch, obviously, having to win Texas late there to extend his streak of winning races in a Cup Series. So had him happen to do that there. So, and then Eric Jones, you know, his bat, he was off and on. Unfortunately, he's going to, or he will be at Richard Petty and Motorsports to kick things off at Daytona. So yeah, Christopher Bell in that 20 car. So I'm interested to see how that goes, because that 20 car, I don't know, for what, whoever gets in it, for whatever reason, is cursed. That's probably not the right word, but I'm going to use it anyways. Because yeah, all three cars, 11, 19, 18, can run well, but the 20, some weeks is very good, and in others it runs good, but it runs into trouble. So that's kind of was a storyline with Eric Jones the last couple of years. He's the next guy. He's the next guy, Eric Jones, to win a lot of races. And I mean, he was up there. He won a couple, but just wasn't enough. So it'll be interesting to see. You have to this car one more time, like you said, for the whole year, and then you go in next gen car. So hopefully, you know, Joe Gibbs Racing, you know, they're a step behind Hendrick Motorsports right now, but it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, Daytona is its own beast with the 500, of course, coming up, obviously. And then you flip it to the road course, which is the second race of the year. And then you got to go down to home Miami for the third. So that little Florida triple threat right there to kick off 2021. I'm excited about that. So it'll be interesting to see. What does Joe Gibbs come out of the gate with? I'm really curious to see what happens with that.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I think you made two great points there, right? So we said we expected more from JGR, but, you know, that was the first year with Truex and then his new crew chief since Cole Pern, you know, left. So I think that that takes some time to adjust and, you know, gets results and get everybody on the team to gel, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously the situation with Eric, you know, everybody knew Bell was going to be stepping into that car. You know, maybe it wasn't announced right away, but I think a lot of people, you know, expected that, and I think that impacted some of his results as well. So, you know, that's 50% of the organization right there. So then, you know, you really have to lean on Hamlin and Kyle to produce. And, you know, obviously Hamlin still had a pretty stellar year, but, you know, for Kyle it was, you know, not the normal. But, you know, again, yeah, I definitely think they'll be back to normal levels in 2021 for sure.
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
Yeah, Lugs, I'm hoping that's the case. I'm hoping that's the case for sure. Meanwhile, Stenhouse Racing welcomes in a new driver, rookie Chase Briscoe. Replacing Clint Bowyer. Obviously, Bowyer heading to the Fox booth. We're going to be listening to him here very soon here as he makes his first full year, if you want to call it, for Fox, up in the booth with Jeff Gordon and Mike Joy. So Chase Briscoe last year had a big year in the Xfinity Series after pretty much betting on himself there to get, what, 7 or 8 wins there to be cup eligible. Well, he did more than that and get himself to the championship four, and then he fell short in the championship four race in the Xfinity Series. Now you're going into the 14 car, which is the iconic number. It's your owner's number, Tony Stewart. So, and then kind of feel the same way with, and I talked about this on one of my team reviews that just came out this week. Stewart Haas Racing, Kevin Harvick has completely led this organization. Now, we've seen some great runs here and there. Eric Almirola had 18 top 10s last year, if I'm not mistaken. And he, before all that math that you talked about earlier with his whole starting positions came out, I don't know who was his rabbit's foot, but he was drawing a lot of pole positions. And he was up front most of the time, but he couldn't close the deal. Cole Custer, obviously, he got a win. That four wide bonsai move there at Kentucky last year to get a win there, his first cup win there. And then Bowyer, which you all thought, you know, was going to be better. You know, he didn't have no wins this last year either. So now you bring up Chase Briscoe into that ride. I'm definitely, this is going to be one of the storylines early in the 2021 season, how he's going to do in this car for Stewart Haas Racing. Now you're following your favorite driver that you grew up watching. Indiana native, obviously, you probably follow him closely too, Lugs. You living up there in Indiana. So what are your thoughts on Stewart Haas Racing and particularly Chase Briscoe going into this year?
Yeah, I think a couple things there. I you know, rookie season is always challenging, right, for the guys stepping into that new cup machine. So kind of the same thing I said for Cole Custer and Tyler Reddick and Christopher Bell and all those guys last year. I would love to see them go out and get a win. And obviously Cole did that, but I don't know if I see Chase doing it. I mean, yeah, he did have what 8 or 9 wins in the Xfinity Series this year. But
yeah, 9, yep.
It's Cup Series, just a different beast. You know, I hope he can step into it and, you know, just really challenge. But I don't know, you know, the 14 car, you know, Clint wasn't much of a threat this season. So I don't know what fully to expect from Chase. You know, pitting him up against Alfredo, I do think that Chase will take, you know, Rookie of the Year honors.
Yeah.
It's because it is, you know, better equipment, but you know, I think it'll be a big learning curve for him, but hopefully he'll be able to, you know, contend and have some top fives and maybe even pull off a win like Custer did. Overall, you know, I think Cole, you know, everybody will be looking at him to build on the momentum that he had in 2020. You know, Harvick, with being the same package and everything, I figure he will go out and probably win another, you know, 5 to 10 races this season. I think he'll back up what he did this year. And then, you know, Eric is just, you know, hot and cold. You know, he kind of gets on these streaks where you'll see him up there and he's competitive, and then there's some weeks he's just completely out to lunch, man. And, you know, he's been with Stuart Haas, what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's time to, you know, produce the results or you know, get out of the car, you know. You feel tied to him, which is great. But, you know, how long, you know, he had that win at Talladega year before last, I think.
Yep.
I don't know. I hope Eric can really produce this year, but I think he's kind of getting backed into a corner if he doesn't start to.
Yeah, that's kind of what Alonzo, I said on the team review there about Eric Almirola. It gets on these streaks and then, yeah, been hot and cold. And he went on a streak last year of some 9-10 straight races being in the top 10. I mean, he has the consistency. And then, like I mentioned, he drew, like, there were, like, I think there were 3 consecutive races in a row that he drew the pole position and didn't take advantage of it. So, I think this is this year for him. I think he needs to get in that car in victory lane. Otherwise, I think he's the next one in trouble, in my opinion. That's for sure there. And then, of course, silly season. The other moves were made as well. Henrik Motorsports, Jimmy Johnson doing the whole IndyCar thing, moving Bowman over to the 88, to the 48 now, and Kyle Larson coming back in the 5 car. Last I checked on him with sponsorship, I haven't heard anything from him from that camp over there. Obviously, with what went down last year, so that's something to keep our eyes on that as well. Bo Wallace with a new team, which I'm excited about. The 23-11 Racing there, Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin. I'm going to be interested to see how Denny Hamlin handles owner duties as well as drive his FedEx number 11 race car as well. So, yeah, anything for you loves that stick out from silly season?
Not really off the top of my head. I think the whole Bubba Wallace thing is the big thing, right? You know, there were so many rumors for the longest time that we didn't know where he was going to go, and then, you know, the rumors built with a new team starting, and then it actually coming to fruition with Michael Jordan and Denny. I think that's the biggest thing, is who would have thought that really would have been something that come to fruition a year ago, you know, early in the year. I would say that's probably got to be the biggest thing out of silly season. Maybe Clint Boyer retiring. I mean, there was always rumblings of that. But he waited so late in the season to announce it. You know, I kind of feel bad for him. He didn't really get a proper send-off, kind of like, you know, Junior and Tony and Gordon did for years. But
good point.
Kind of the same thing, not silly season related, but with Johnson. You know, I just feel bad for him. He had just such an abysmal final year, and, you know, with no fans at the tracks for the most part, nobody really got to pay him too much tribute for a guy that's a 7-time champion. I just feel like he's still highly discounted, you know, and he should be, you know, higher up in people's regards than what he actually is.
Yeah, Jimmy had kind of a rough year last year, and there are some people wanting him to come back for a do-over, so they get a proper send-off here due to this whole COVID thing. So, yeah, fortunately, Jimmy ended 2020 with a solid 5th-place run at Phoenix. So, it'll be interesting to see how well he does in the IndyCar this year. So I know he wanted to double down on other stuff, so definitely that's going to be a huge transition from a stock car to an Indy car, that's for sure, for Jimmy on that front.
Would you foresee him, Eddie, if he didn't do very well in IndyCar? You know, he's a pretty competitive guy. Do you foresee him coming back to Cup Series? Would you ever see him making a, you know, return if IndyCar just didn't suit him?
Part of me thinks he will. I think he might make an appearance or two somewhere down the road somewhere. Even if he doesn't perform well. I think he might make an appearance or two. That's my guess on that, because, I mean, obviously, I mean, we're all wondering where he'd get back to victory lane. Obviously, it didn't happen. It almost happened on a couple occasions last year, but it didn't. So, but if he didn't have the success, I definitely see him coming back. And but he talked about that in one of the podcasts I listened to last year. It was on the Dale Jr. Download. He talked about that, whether he wanted to come back only if the deal was right. That was from his words, and I have to agree with him. It'll have to be the right situation, obviously, for him to do that. I think he'll make an appearance or two. So, what do you think?
I think I could see him come back and do a couple one-off races, or maybe step in for somebody if you know, obviously I hope this isn't the case, but if someone was to get injured or something, you know, kind of how Gordon did with Junior when he was out for his concussion. But I could see that, or maybe just haven't seen him, you know, make a couple one-off appearances, you know, out of Dover or Martinsville, you know, those tracks that he was really competitive at. I could see him stepping into, you know, maybe a satellite car of Hendrick, or, you know, somebody that's got a prepped car that needs a driver.
Yeah, that's for sure. So definitely we're going to be keeping an eye on Jimmy to see what he does with any car, and if he makes a special appearance back in the Cup Series. This is the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, hanging out with Lugs, the other half of the Wrecking and Racing Podcast, another good racing podcast for you folks. Okay, so Austin Cindric, last year, man, this guy keeps getting better and better, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but the stats are right out there. It's the truth. Austin Cindric obviously came into NASCAR a road course ace. Well, we can't call him that anymore, at least that part of it. Anyways, he's not just a road course ringer anymore. He is very solid everywhere you go, and then he won a championship last year, and he's going to be coming back, obviously, to try to repeat as Xfinity Series champion. And his plan already is laid out. I mean, he's got another full year, Lugs, with Penske in the Xfinity Series, and then he's going to be taking over the number 21 Wood Brothers ride over from Matty D, and poor Matty D. He'll have to find somewhere else. But he's pretty much auditioning this year again for another ride. But Austin Cindric was fantastic and pretty much started around, I want to say, early summer last year. This guy continues to get better, and you know, he's a beast on road course races. So what are the chances for Austin Cindric to repeat in the Xfinity Series?
I think it's highly likely, absolutely, especially with Chase Briscoe moving, you know, out of the series. I think the spotlight will shift over, you know, to Austin. I think, you know, obviously you'll have Noah Gragson still vying for some wins, and Harrison Burton, and, you know, Al Geyer, and, you know, Almendinger's running full series this year. But I definitely think Cindric's got to be the favorite going in, especially with the expanded amount of races going to the road courses. You know, we got seven road courses in Xfinity and Cup schedule this year, so I definitely think everybody's eyes are going to be on Cindric. And, you know, Cindric's already got his plans, you know, in place for the following year, so it kind of takes a load of stress off of him, so he can just go out there and literally, you know, just perform. And if he doesn't perform, he doesn't have to stress it too much, you know. But I think it will take a lot of the weight off of his shoulders, and I think that's even scarier, right? You can go out and just have a good time and see what happens.
That's for sure. You definitely, knowing what you have down the road in the future next year, definitely takes a lot off your plate, that's for sure. And you just go out and have a ball out there, so that's that's the dangerous for the rest of the competition in the Xfinity Series down there. So, obviously, you got Almendinger going full-time with Colleague Racing. That organization continues to get stronger and stronger as well. And they're vying for a spot in the Cup Series here in the further future. But, yeah, that's for sure. So, be interested to see what the number 22 does, Austin Cindric, in the Xfinity Series. Okay, Lux, so now we go to, obviously, Daytona. to start off the year, and it's going to pretty much carry on in for a few weeks. You want to say, you kind of want to say starts with the Busch Clash all the way, which is on the road course, which is going to be the second race of the year, all the way through that road course through February 21st. So almost you're spending, and you, this is not even counting Miami, you're spending pretty much, well, actually really the whole entire month, two-thirds of it at Daytona. And I don't know how they're going to spend, you pretty much could just stay there. You can make a vacation out of this whole deal here if you wanted to. This is the perfect, and I know they're limiting fans for the Daytona 500 this year, but you got Daytona, and then you got your duels, and then the following, actually, yeah, that's a, this starts on Tuesday, the Busch Clash on a Tuesday, I'm looking at it. So that starts on Tuesday, and then you have your traditional duels on Thursday night, and then, of course, you have your 500 that Sunday, and then you got to turn around the following week, the road course race, same track, and then a week later, you travel a couple hours down south to Miami. So this is your Florida triple threat, if you will, for the Cup Series. This is, I mean, and for those of you just tuning in, obviously, the road course race replacing what could have been California on there was supposed to be the second race of the year. That got removed due to the rules out in California, like I mentioned early on in this show tonight. So, Lugs, what do you think, man? You got Daytona pretty much for two-thirds of the month here next month, and then you got Miami in the third hole, third slot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not mad about that. I think, you know, they're trying to get a little bit of variation in there with obviously, the Clash is going to be at the road course layout, and then they're going to come back there for an actual points race, you know, in place of California, but, you know, kind of just working within the confines of the COVID pandemic still, unfortunately. But, you know, I'm okay with that, and I really like Homestead, so I was a little bummed when they took it away as the, you know, championship series location. No disrespect to Phoenix, but I just, you know, I liked the Homestead racetrack and the night race and everything, so glad to see that they're still utilizing that track. So yeah, I think that's awesome, especially for the teams. It'll save them some money, I would think, being able to stay down there for, you know, 3-4 weeks or whatever it is, and you know bounce around all over the country. So
yeah, that's for sure. You can stay in one state, that's for sure. So a few more minutes with Lugs tonight on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3 here in Manhattan, Kansas. Lugs hanging out there up in the state of Indiana. So the Daytona 500. Oh, so yeah, like I mentioned, you got your usual qualifying for the front row, and then you have your duels, and then you have the actual race. So Denny Hamlin last year won the 500 for the third time, and coming back here now for Denny, he's going to be looking to go for a three-peat. Come February 14th, Daytona 500 down there. And first off, what's your favorite 500 memory that you have since being involved in the sport, Lugs? And does Denny have a chance? I mean, obviously, anybody can win a speedway race, obviously, when it comes to these things. So does Denny have the opportunity to have a good chance to win his third straight? This is going to, I know, it's hard, but with the random probability of getting involved with wrecks, you have to include that in there. So, and the way that Denny has raced these things, especially when it comes to Daytona, he's been absolute stud when it comes to speedway racing. So, what's your favorite 500 memory, and does Denny have a great chance to three-peat come the 14th?
Let's see. Daytona 500 memory, favorite, probably be, I sound like a total, you know, Gordon fanboy here, but his 05 win there was probably my fondest memory. Maybe the 99 is up there close with it, because he battled Dale Sr. for that, and it was just, you know, cool to see that. But in 2005, you know, he was battling Junior and Tony Stewart and Kurt Busch, and you know, it was a dogfight. And I remember watching it with my dad. I haven't watched a ton of races with my dad over the years, but we were able to watch that one together, and we're both Gordon fans, so it was cool to kind of have that experience. But absolutely, I mean, I think Hamlin can do it. He is somehow always around at these restricted plate tracks. Or I guess technically they're not restricted plate anymore with the tapered spacers, but you know, look what he did with Talladega last fall, right? He was hung out in the back the whole race and then just played his cards at the right time and came up and, you know, beat De Benedetto right for the win. So I think the odds are against him to go and three-peat, but I absolutely think it's a possibility. I can't discount Denny at any plate track that we go to.
Right. That's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I do remember that 05 500 as well. That was a drag-out battle there towards the end of that. Yeah, Stewart was a part of that as well. Yeah, he and Kurt Busch, yeah, so I remember that one as well. But yeah, Denny Hamlin always around at the end. These things, and then of course the last speedway race, obviously you brought that up, he won that one due to a little bit of controversy, but he was there, he was around, there he is, the 11 FedEx car, he's going to be there at the end of these races. He knows how to get it done at these races. And there's some other people out, there's some other drivers out there that, you know, sleepers always come to rise up around the 500. And last year, David Rankin, the guy that I mentioned early on in the show, he finished fourth last year. Brennan Gaughan, he finished seventh. Corey LaJoie, eighth. And let's not let it forget that Ryan Newman, who finished ninth, was involved in that scary incident in the last lap, last stretch there with Corey LaJoie there. And thank good Lord that he walked out of the hospital there a few days later. It was that was an absolute miracle there. That memory sticks out for me from last year. I did not see. I had to leave to take care of some business, so I saw most of the race. I did not see the last final laps of it. So when I hopped on Twitter, I kept seeing Newman's name on the list. Like, what happened? And then a friend texted me and told me what happened. I'm like, oh my goodness. So, man, that was some event last year from Newman there. So there's always some sleepers come to rise here at Daytona. Who are a couple of sleepers to pay attention to for the 500 that you have your eyes on?
Man, you know, somehow the first person that comes to mind when you asked me that was Austin Dillon. Obviously, you know, he got a win there in, what was it, 2018. So I think Dillon is a strong one. Blaney somehow, you know, he's got seems to always show his hand at these plate tracks as well. So I don't know if you'd classify him as a sleeper or not. I guess that's subjective. But I would say Dillon or Blaney. What about you? Who would you pick? And also, what's your favorite fondest 500 race?
Oh, spin it back on me. All right, so to answer your question there, Lugs, favorite 500 memory, I got to say, man, there are several of them, but Michael Waltrip's win, the second one, and I was actually a Michael Waltrip fan when I'm going into the sport. So when he won the 500, his second 500, the rainout, I want to say it was 2003. I think, yeah, 2002. He knew his way around Daytona Talladega. That was one of my favorite memories there. He had to pass, I think it was Jimmy Johnson there before the rains came there. So that was my favorite, one of my favorite, fondest memories there. And then, unfortunately, another memory that sticks out for me on the flip side of winning is losing, Martin Truex Jr. Lead that whole, which started the whole working with manufacturers thing with the Toyota. They worked together. Joe Gibbs Racing. I know he was with, he was with Virtual Racing at this time. was a 78. He and Denny Hamlin going right down to the wire there, and I thought he had Denny Hamlin there, and Hamlin got him. I was like, oh, dang it, man. So I might have said a few more words outside of that, but that memory definitely sticks out as well. What a great finish, though, but my driver had to be on the other end of that, so one of the closer 500 finishes in recent memory. So those are my two memory moments there. And for me, sleepers for me, yeah, when I said that to you, I immediately thought about Austin Dillon as well. Because, yeah, I mean, when it comes, obviously, with Richard Childress Racing, Richard Childress obviously has a connection with Earnhardt, like you mentioned tonight. And then another one that sticks out to me, Eric Jones. he knows, I mean, he won a Clash last year, even though it was on the traditional oval, but now it's going to be on the road course there. But Eric Jones, he knows how to hang around as well in these things as well. He knows how to get up front. And then another one for you, Matt DiBenedetto. Also, so he's going to be, like I mentioned to you tonight on the podcast, here on the 3Y NASCAR podcast, he's going to be pretty much starting when the floor hits the gas pedal at Daytona. He's going to be auditioning to get in another ride. So, I mean, he has a full year to get that all worked out. So, DiBenedetto is going to be, he's going to be somebody to look out for here. Obviously, the Wood Brothers still on win 99, looking for that triple digit win. So, and Matty D wants it so bad. So, it's going to be interesting to see how he does. I mean, and obviously, when he was LeMond Family Racing a couple years ago, he led all those laps and then got swept up in the big one a couple years ago. So, he's going to be somebody I'm going to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I agree. I think DiBenedetto will be strong. You know, Wood Brothers, they always got some speed at those tracks. And I think you mentioned earlier, but David Reagan would be another sleeper I'd throw in, you know.
Yeah.
He's starting with front row, I believe. So I think that's another sleeper. He's got a win at Talladega and a win at the Daytona Night Race. So I think you could definitely throw him in there, too, if you would consider, you know, a multiple winner like that a sleeper.
Yeah, I definitely throw him in there. And while we're at it, I'm going to throw in Ricky Stenhouse as well. He was fast last year. He sat on the pole a year ago, and that team had some sheer speed right off the truck. They were getting the pole there and was often competitive in the duels. And he was up there earlier, and then he had some kind of type of issue, whatever, and ended up finishing 20th in the 500 last year. He's always a guy that you're going to have to look out for. Any speedway tracks there, he's kind of a go-getter. Either he runs up in the top five or he's going to wreck. So it'll be interesting to see how that team comes back this year, this time around, because he's a guy that he's going to force the issue and he's going to make bold moves. So that's a guy that I'll throw him in there also. So we're throwing a lot in there, but yeah, so excited that the 500 is going to be coming around here in a couple weeks, and it's going to be interesting to see how the whole Speed Weeks goes for these guys. So, be interesting to find out what cards will be played here in a few weeks down in Daytona. All right, loves, I'm kind of putting you on the spot already. I know it's early January, but do you have a prediction of who is going to win this race?
Oh my gosh, man, that's like throwing darts blindfolded.
Speedway racing is throwing darts blindfolded.
You know, I don't know who's someone that hasn't won a 500.
Man,
Truex yep. will be hungry, I think. Kyle Busch, he's
Kyle, not yep. Man,
I'm gonna go with one of those two, Truex or Kyle Busch. I think those two guys are
really
hungry. Like so that. that's who I'm throwing out there.
I really like that. I like that. Yeah,
how about
for
you?
Sure. Oh man, my prediction might change and it would come back in February. But for right now, man, oh boy, oh I gotta go. Keselowski has not won the 500. We haven't said much about Keselowski on this show tonight.
Yeah.
And maybe because I don't have it on the rundown on the questions sheet here, but Keselowski's been over in the 500. I'm gonna flip one on you here. You went with Joe Gibbs racing with Truex and Busch. Those are good picks, by the way. I'm gonna flip one on you here. I'm gonna go with Penske, one of the guys from Penske, not Joey Logano, because he already has one. So, Blaney, you talked about him tonight. Ryan Blaney showed his hand. He's always strong on speedway tracks. I think he finished second last year. He was involved in that scary action and finished second. It's going to be either him, I'll pick him, or Keselowski. Keselowski is one of those guys, too, can get around here, too. So, one of those two guys, if they can get to the end, that's the question. Can they get to the end? That's always the question to these things. And you know you're going to have your wrecks either in the beginning, middle, or towards the end of these things as well. So, these things can get wacky towards the end. So, I'm going to go one of those two. So,
those are good picks, man. Those are good picks. Keselowski's always strong at plate tracks, big tracks like that. So those are definitely some good picks.
Sweet, sweet, sweet deal. All right, my man. So real quick here, talk about your fantasy for your podcast here for a little bit.
Yeah, so we do fantasy. We kick it off with Daytona 500. Basically, people that want to play. They just kind of email us each week. It's open to anybody. It's free. Doesn't cost anything. It's just something we do for fun and bragging rights. But people that want to get in on it, they can send their fantasy picks to our email. It's wreckingandracing@gmail.com, and just basically pick two drivers each week, and wherever those drivers finish in the race and how many points they allot, that's how many points you get to add to your your bank. And then we do reset the points at the 10 race playoff at the end of the season. We reset based off of kind of where everybody's at in the rundown, point wise. I think we do five point increments there on down the line, and that kind of gets everybody a little bit more on a level playing field. And then it's race to homestead. So something we've done for a couple years now, and gonna do it again this year. It's always fun to throw some bragging rights down and give each other a hard time. So
yeah, it's always fun to do that.
As you well know.
I did well last year in the regular season, and then the playoffs I ran into some bad luck there. So hopefully I can continue the regular season consistency there, and then do a little bit better in the playoffs. So, but I'm definitely excited to be a part of it again, and I'm going to be a part of another fantasy and probably another one too. So it's always nice to be involved in these things. It makes it a lot more fun.
For sure, man. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Lugs. Well, tell us where we can find you on social media, and tell us about your podcast, which I'm sure you're still doing off-season podcasts. Was that correct? I know I saw one.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to the last
week. We moved to bi-weekly, so normally we put out a new episode each week during the actual racing season, but since it's the off-season, we traditionally step down to every other week. So
okay.
We don't have one releasing this week, but we will the following Wednesday. So each Wednesday, like I said, we'll drop a new one, with the exception of the off season. But wreckingandracing.com, you can find us on all the social medias: Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, of course, and then you can find us on all your major listening platforms, so Spotify, Podbean, Apple. iTunes, you name it, we're pretty much on all of them now. So if you just do a quick Google search, Wrecking and Racing, you'll find some way to listen to us.
That's for sure. As well as the other NASCAR podcasts and NASCAR fam out there on social media and wherever you listen to podcasts. The Daytona 500, Sunday, February 14th, that will be on Fox and on radio on MRN.com. Lux, it's been fun having you on tonight for previewing a little bit about Daytona 500 and talking some racing with you. thank you for taking some time out of your Sunday evening to talk racing with me, and hopefully we'll do this again down the road later on this year sometime, my friend.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Eddie. Thanks for the invite. We need to get you on our show. So whenever you get some free time, open invite there whenever you want to come on and talk some racing on our end too.
Oh, sweet. Thank you. Yeah. I have to look at my schedule, but absolutely, I'll take you up on that. So we'll definitely talk more on Twitter for sure. I'll keep you up posted for sure. Definitely.
Thanks, Eddie. Appreciate it.
Sports podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going three wide.